Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know if you're like me, you get tired of putting the news on because it's always bad news. There's always disasters, wars, terrorism, earthquakes, famines, tornadoes, all sorts of disasters that happen. I've never seen a newscast open with, "Well, today we don't have any bad news to report. I guess we'll just be telling you good news for the next 30 minutes. I've never seen that. Why? Because disaster is a part of the world we live in. Our entire planet is, let's face it, a disaster area. And it's always been that way, at least since the Garden of Eden. And the mistake that people make when they talk about disasters is thinking, oh, it's worse now than it's ever been. No, it's always been this bad. It was no different in Jesus' time. As Luke 13 points out to us, in our gospel lesson from Luke 13, Jesus talks about two disasters that happened in Palestine in the first century. They were contemporary events, real disasters that happened during the time of Jesus. And these look like they were ripped out of today's headlines. Jesus talks about those disasters, and he talks about the right way to respond to them and the wrong way to respond to the disasters as well. Today, this sermon is going to be a disaster. I'm sorry. Today, this sermon is going to be about disasters. What I want to focus on today is, first of all, different types of disasters. Secondly, we'll talk about the cause of disasters. And third of all, we're going to talk about the right response to disasters according to our Savior Jesus. So let's start with number one. Types of disasters. There's two basic kinds of disasters. The first is man-made. Now, you know the name Pontius Pilate. He's mentioned in the Apostles' Creed as the one responsible for the death of Jesus. Pontius Pilate was a ruthless Roman governor in Judea. We don't know a lot about the event that Jesus mentions, but here's what Jesus says, or here's what Luke says. There were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. So Pilate decided to ruthlessly murder some Galileans while they were making a sacrifice. I think this would be equivalent today to somebody in the government coming in with a machine gun and murdering Christian worshipers while they are taking Holy Communion. It's about the most blasphemous and profane act a person can take. This doesn't seem far removed from what we see happening in Ukraine this week. Man's inhumanity to man is on full display. Buildings being blown up, rocket attacks, movie theaters being attacked, massive civilian casualties. You know, there's so many different types of man-made disasters. Wars, rumors of wars, terrorism, mass shootings, bombings, persecution and torture of those who believe in Christ. Of course, we all remember 9/11. As technology grows in power, the ability to do greater harm and damage increases. Technology is constantly improving. Unfortunately, human nature is not. The combination of powerful technology and our sinful nature is incredibly dangerous for all of us. One type of disaster is the man-made disaster. The other type is what we call a natural disaster. I'm not sure that's a good name, but we'll use it for right now. Not all disasters are man-made. Some come out of the blue when we least expect, and we really can't point the finger at any one person to put the blame on. These are the so-called natural disasters. Jesus mentions one that recently had happened. 18 people died when a tower in Siloam fell and killed them. Luke 13:4. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? Sadly, this is something that still happens today. It's just 9 months ago when 98 people were sleeping in the middle of the night when the 12-story Champlain Towers in Surfside, Florida fell down, killing 98 people. You know, those awful things happen out of the blue. But there are all kinds of natural disasters. A lot of them are weather-related, right? Floods, and tornadoes, hurricanes, there's earthquakes, there's tsunamis, there's fires, there's famines, there's other calamities. And you know what? I don't know if we even hear about most of them. because we don't tend to focus on them unless they directly affect us, but they're going on all over the world. There are too many disasters to possibly keep track of or remember. As I said, these are sometimes called natural disasters. Sometimes they're even referred to as acts of God. So, what are they really? Are they acts of God? Are they God's vengeance? Are they natural? Is this the way God created the world? What causes all these disasters in this world? It might surprise you to know that we do know the cause of these disasters. Every single disaster, every man-made disaster, and every natural disaster can be traced back to a single cause, and it's summed up in one three-letter word, S-I-N, sin. Which is number two, the cause of disasters is sin. According to the Bible, the cause of all disasters is sin. Disasters are not natural, they are not acts of God. Disasters are the result of sin. God created this world to be a paradise with no pain, no suffering, no death. That all changed when Adam and Eve decided to rebel against God. Sin is what brought suffering, pain, and death into this world. The world suffering these disasters is not part of God's plan. It is the mess we ourselves made out of God's perfectly created world. In other words, we are the ones who have turned planet Earth into one big giant disaster area. I don't think disasters should be labeled acts of God. I think they should be called results of sin. But before we go blaming Adam and Eve, we have to understand our own role as sinners in this ongoing disaster. Adam and Eve started it, but we've continued it. We are not sinless, and death comes to us because we have sinned. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Sin came into the world through one man, Adam. Death came through sin, but death came to all of us because all of us are sinners. We don't suffer because of particular sins, but we all suffer and we all die because we are all sinners. In other words, we are part of the problem. And that leads us to the perhaps most important statistic that we need to always remember. The important statistic is this: 10 out of every 10 people die. Why is that? Well, Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Death has come into this world because we brought it into it. Death is our wage. It is the payment we receive for living a sinful, selfish life in which we routinely break commandment after commandment. It is what we have earned for ourselves. It is not what God wants for us. It was not part of God's original plan or his original creation. It is what we have chosen for ourselves. God wants us to have life and to have it abundantly, which is why God sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, into this world. I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus Christ came into this world to save us from this perpetual disaster area we call the world, to save us from sin, to save us from death, both physical death and eternal life, death. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God sent his son into the world to pay the price for sin by dying on the cross. And through his death, we have life, eternal life, life that lasts now and forever. God wants us to have abundant life. And God gives us that eternal abundant life, not because we've earned it. No, Jesus earned it. It's not our wage. It is the free gift of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is through him that we have everlasting life. And it is through him that one day we will be saved from this disaster area called the planet Earth. In the meantime, we're stuck here in this worldwide disaster area where disasters happen routinely all the time. Man-made disasters, natural disasters, they're happening all around us. Sometimes they're very personal, sometimes they're widespread and catastrophic. And what is the right response to disasters? Well, Jesus explains that to us here in Luke chapter not in Luke chapter 13. He tells us the right way to respond. You know, it's interesting. There's something about disasters that brings out the Pharisee in all of us, that brings out our self-righteousness. I remember when Katrina hit, and it hit New Orleans, and everybody, all the Christians were saying, well, you know, I shouldn't say all the Christians, but some Christians were saying, thought it was judgment on New Orleans for its immoral lifestyle. It's so easy to get self-righteous, you know, not thinking about the fact that, hey, we're sinners too. Hey, we do bad things too. There is no perfect city. There is no sinless city. There's no sinless area. It's so easy to get self-righteous. It is so easy for people to think the other people had it coming. The next time a disaster hits, and there will always be a next time in this world, just pay attention and see how many people say something similar to the idea of, well, they've had it coming. Yep, that's the way people think. That's what the people in Jesus' time did too. They thought that people suffer because they are worse sinners than themselves. That's why Jesus calls them out on it. Jesus does not put up with self-righteous attitudes. Do you think that those who were in the Tower of Siloam were worse offenders than all the other offenders in Jerusalem? No. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. The right response to any disaster, first and foremost, is, number one, repentance. That's the right reaction. The wrong reaction is self-righteousness. Jesus urges us to repent. We're not pure, perfect, righteous people. We are sinners. Sinners who have contributed to poisoning this world with our sin. Whenever we see disasters, we should be reminded of our own sinfulness and turn to the Lord in repentance, turn to the Lord for forgiveness and mercy. And the Lord promises that when we turn to him that way, we will find his forgiveness and mercy. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Number one, the right response is repentance. The second right response is compassion. We see that in Mark chapter 10, in Jesus' response to Bartimaeus, who was blind. Jesus, of course, was divined by his splenismi, his compassion. It's what he felt towards people. It's how, you know, the Bible describes his innermost being and feelings. He is full of compassion. When Jesus would come across a person who was hurting, he didn't try to affix blame or point fingers or try to say whose fault is this. He looked for a way to help them. In fact, what Jesus did do here in the case of Bartimaeus is he asked the most helpful, practical, and maybe powerful question you can ask someone who is hurting. When Jesus comes across Bartimaeus, a blind man begging on the road to Jericho, Jesus asked him one question. What do you want me to do for you? Isn't that a great question? Isn't that the question that a compassionate person asked? Not whose fault is this, or how did you get yourself into this mess? No, what do you want me to do for you? How can I help you? Bartimaeus replies, I want to see. And Jesus gives him his sight back. And Bartimaeus, from that day forward, becomes a follower of Jesus. Now, I understand we are not Jesus. We do not have the power to restore someone's sight. We don't have power to heal the blind or heal the sick. But Jesus has given us his spirit, and he wants us in some small way to reflect his splenismi, his compassion. We can always do something to help. We can certainly pray, and usually there's more than we can do than that. You know, Jesus wants us to be compassionate towards those who are hurting. It's not about a sign of lion. It's about how can you help? What can I do for you? How can I help? You see, we live in a disaster area. The entire world is a disaster area. And there have always been disasters since the Garden of Eden, and there always will be disasters until Jesus comes again. We cannot stop them, but we can respond to them. And we can respond in the right way, which is with repentance, confessing our sins, and compassion, asking how we can help, the compassion of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.